AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
I hang my bow up, I look at the GoPro, it's recording, I look at my camera and it's not recording. And it was when I realized that I probably missed it all and then went to the media on the camera and tried to see if it was there. It was not, almost fell out of the stand in frustration. You guys can see that on the video. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the RHO Podcast. This is episode number 176. I'm going to be talking about this season, kind of giving you guys a breakdown of how it's gone so far. My best season ever for a lot of reasons, and I'm going to talk about those. And we're not even halfway through it yet. We're only November 17th. There's a lot of season left to go. We've got almost two full months of deer hunting left, and I'm going to talk about that as well. This is a solo episode, as you can probably tell. But before we get into all of that, don't forget about Rodney Hawkins. He's one of our partners for these episodes. He's got RG Outdoors, which is his own company. He sells everything from patio furniture to hunting blinds to tree stands and cameras and e-bikes, and he's adding stuff all the time. So you guys can go to Facebook, go to RG Outdoors and find him there. RGOutdoors@yahoo.com is his contact for that as well. He's also a Midwest Farm and Land Specialist. If you guys haven't heard of them, they are a real estate company that specializes in recreational property. They have residential stuff as well, but rec stuff is their bread and butter. Hunting land, farmland, also things like that. If you guys are interested in any of that, or if you have some to put on the market, you can get a hold of Rodney at 618-925-3153, and he can help you out with any of that. Also, Rax Big Game Supplements. Go over to raxmineral.com. If you guys are in a state where you can use feed and mineral, it's some of the best on the market. Go check it out and see what they got. There's local dealers on that website as well. Our website is ridgehunteroutdoors.com. If you guys find anything on there you like, use that discount code RHOPOD. That's all caps, no space. And you can get 10% off your entire order. If you're on YouTube, we'd appreciate a subscribe, a like, a comment. If you're on audio only, follow us, leave us a review. So with all that stuff taken care of, let's get into it. Like I said, I'm going to be talking about my best season that I've ever had, which is this year. Kind of tell you guys about what we've got going on so far. I mean, what we've done so far and what we have going on coming up. It's been a lot here in a short period of time, seems like. Definitely been my best season to date. I've had some good ones in the past. I've killed some bucks in the past. But some stuff has happened this year that's never happened. I have once killed my biggest bodied buck, twice killed my biggest racked buck, and some other stuff as well that I'm going to get into. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. But to start off with, we set a goal for this year for RHO on YouTube to hit 10,000 subscribers. And I wanted to do that by the end of the year. I thought that was pretty achievable. I forget what we came into the season at, if it was 8,500 or something like that. I don't remember. I'd have to go back and listen to the episodes and see. But I thought it was definitely achievable. Obviously, the fourth quarter is the best for hunting content creators like us, October, November, December, because that is deer season, especially November. So definitely thought we could achieve that. We hit it one day shy of the end of October. It was November 1st when we hit 10,000 subscribers. So we're way ahead of schedule on that. I think we're up to almost 11,500 now. So now I'm hoping we could hit 12,000 by the end of the year. And then we'll go from there. The next big goal, I think, is probably 15. That makes the most sense, I suppose. I've been telling people it's 25 as well. So I don't know. Depending on how you look at YouTube numbers, it kind of goes from 10 to 25 is like the next big number. I think the next big goal you look at. But we're going to take it a few at a time and just maybe call 15,000 our goal for next year. Hopefully we can surpass that. But big thanks to all you guys that are subscribed. If you're not, we'd appreciate it if you do that to help us maybe get to 12,000 by the end of the year. But that is all to you guys, our followers, and those of you that like listening to us for whatever reason or like watching us mess up hunts. I mean, we're pretty good at that, whether it's messing up the hunt or messing up the video. But you guys obviously are into at least some of that stuff. So Again, thanks to you for tuning in and staying with us and subscribing and all that stuff. That was a big part of what made this season a success. And I think had we not killed what we have so far, and if I hadn't shot the bucks that I did, just hitting that number would have been enough to make this season successful. That was a big deal to me and to the team, I know. And as a team, we've knocked down 5 bucks so far. And if you add in Dawson's that he shot with Dusty on camera, that's 6. And we've had some other really close calls as well. I've talked about a few of those on Deer Season Daily. A couple of those videos will be coming out soon. At least one of them will be coming out soon. Hunter's video should come out either today, tomorrow, or Wednesday, if you're listening to this on Monday. This has been, as a team, the best year we've had that I remember. Nate is the only one on the team that hasn't killed a buck yet, and he's going to, whether it's with a bow or a gun. That guy always does. I know he's going to put in the time and get it done. At some point, he's all around one on his home farm, and he was one of those close encounters. He had a really nice 8-pointer right under the stand, tried to stop him. The dude just bolted and took off. Like, he'd either heard that before or he was startled because he didn't see any deer in the food plot when he heard it. Something. And just didn't quite work out. 9 times out of 10, that deer's dead at 12 yards. But for whatever reason, that didn't work out. So I still have faith that Nate's going to kill one, though. So I think we're going to end up with everybody on the team having at least one buck on the ground. Dusty's got, and Blake both have good chances of bucking out as well on some really nice deer. They're on some good ones. So, I mean, as a team, it's been an awesome season. I think it's been our best so far. Going, you know, season 3, we're filming for season 3 of Fall Pursuit. Obviously, we're putting hunts up on the Ridge Hunter Outdoors YouTube. So, as far as that goes, I feel like we've done really well as a team. Most of them have been on video. Whether it's been good video or not is another thing. I don't think, Dad's was pretty good video. My first one was a little bit out of focus. My second one was not on the big camera. Dusty had the same trouble as I did on my second one with his first buck, didn't get it on video. Dawson's was a little bit out of focus, but it was on video. Blake's was super dark, but the camera was rolling. So we've kind of got it on video. We're still moving in the right direction. Maybe next year we'll all shoot nice bucks and they will all be on better video. Or maybe the last part of this year, the rest of them we shoot will hopefully be on better video. But all in all, as a team, it's been an awesome season too. Not just for me, but for everybody involved. Partially because we did hit that goal. Partially because we've been knocking down bucks. The guys have been doing really well. So I'm happy to see that. It's always fun to get to hunt together and film together, and it's awesome to get those texts when you know somebody's out and it's about that time and you get a text from them or you get a Snapchat and you know what's coming. That's pretty cool. One of my favorite parts of deer season since we've been doing the Ridge Hunter thing. 2 of those 5 bucks are mine, and they're sitting on the table in front of me. If you guys are watching on YouTube, you can see them. I've got the 8-pointer that I killed in October, and I've got the 10-pointer that I bucked out on November 9th. The one on October 26th was my biggest bodied buck to date, and I think it actually might have been my highest scoring buck. I have another one that was busted up. If he wasn't busted, he for sure would have scored better than this one. But I think this one might have just beat that one because he's got some super good beams on him for an 8-pointer. I mean, they're not like 25 inches, but I think it was 22 and 21 and some change, which is pretty solid for an 8. He's got a busted brow tine, or actually it's almost like he never grew it. But he was a pretty nice deer. Super big bodied. Like I said, my biggest bodied buck. He was 260 pounds on the hoof. And then after that, I ended up shooting my biggest rack buck to date, which was this one, for sure my biggest rack buck. So I might have beat that twice this year. I for sure did once, and that was the 10-pointer. That was on November 9th. That was the one I bucked out on. And it seemed kind of short, like it kind of felt like a quick season for me, not only because I was done on the 9th as far as bucks go, but I didn't really start until the second week of October. And part of that was it was really hot. Used to, before we started filming for Fall Pursuit, I wouldn't even really hit it hard until maybe the 3rd week of October. And this year, not doing the semi-live Fall Pursuit, but just doing kind of semi-live videos, I felt like I had a little bit more time to wait for some better weather. So I didn't start as early as I have the last couple years. And then I just didn't hunt a ton throughout October, especially compared to the last couple of years. There was a lot more pressure there. That's kind of one of the things I've been enjoying about filming for next year is a little bit less pressure to have hunts to put together for a particular week. I can just kind of combine everything throughout the season for next year. And that has been really nice for me. It's given me time to do the deer season dailies. It's given me time to...
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Edit other videos and get some other stuff out. Do some more short form content, which has been doing really well. So that's been nice, and it has saved me time on hunting. But at the same time, it's felt like a shorter season because I haven't been out there as much. I didn't really grind as hard in October, the beginning part of October, as I have the past couple years. I did go out on the 11th. That had to be one of my first hunts, and shot a doe with Blake filming. So that was a lot of fun. I'm going to try to do that again at the cabin, shoot another doe. I need to get another one off of there. But that was the plan going in that night. We went in, we killed some wasps in the nest with some wasp spray, and then that doe came out super early. We were out of there by 6 o'clock, and obviously that was before time change, so it was plenty daylight. Shot her, she went like 100 yards. We loaded her up in the truck. We could almost drive all the way to her. We didn't have to drag her maybe 50, 60 yards, something like that, maybe a little bit farther. So that was like the perfect doe hunt. Everything worked out like it was supposed to, and we got her thrown in the truck and out of there before dark. So that was October 11th. And then 15 days later, so just over 2 weeks later, October 26th, was when I killed this 8-pointer over here. And that is the earliest I have ever tagged a buck that I can remember. I have shot bucks before that, at least one that I know of. I think it was October 15th or 16th. Shot a really nice, big-bodied, old 7-pointer, and probably 120-something-inch 7-pointer. And didn't end up finding him. I think I hit him high. He was back on camera like a week later with some does. I saw him one more time, and that was it. But that might have been the only time I've shot one earlier than the 26th. It has usually been a lot later than that. So that kind of put me ahead of schedule just in general. But like before November even got here, I was on my last buck and could be pretty picky about it. On that particular hunt, it was raining, and I debated on whether or not I was going to go, but we had a picture of a buck that would have been similar to this one beside me, maybe a little bit bigger. We think he's probably a little bigger than this one. He might be considerably bigger than this one, but just don't know how big a body it is. However, that was the deer I went in there for the night that I was debating on whether to go or not because it was raining. It was warmer, but not too bad. I mean, it was cool enough. I was a little bit bundled up. So I went in, did an interview in the truck because it was raining, walked into the stand, and really ended up seeing deer for most of the hunt. Had some does come by. It took about an hour for them to kind of start moving, but I did see deer after that pretty much the rest of the time. Had a button buck come underneath of me, had 6 or 7 does come out. They actually ended up downwind of me and were blowing at me. And then 20 to 30 minutes later, this guy stepped out. And it was getting towards last late at that time because I had went out late too, again, because I didn't want to sit in the rain for 3 hours. So, and I was still debating on where to go. So I was out there later. So about 20, 30 minutes after those does left, this guy stepped out close to last light, still raining. It rained the whole hunt. But even after those does blowing, it didn't seem to bother him any. He had to be close. I know he did because that time of year, they are moving a little bit earlier because they're starting to check scrapes and stuff, and it's that perfect pre-rut time. But I know he had to be close because he just popped out, and he was going to work a scrape, I believe, probably the one right in front of the stand. But he came out to the field edge, and I wasn't 100% sure what deer it was because there were like 3 or 4 different 4.5-plus-year-old 8-pointers in that spot, and they would all score about the same as this deer. But he was the only one we had really talked about shooting because we knew he was 5.5 for sure. Dusty had had history with him before. He's got sheds off of him. I've got the shed that he dug out now with me. We knew that he was probably on the shoot list just because of his age, and he'd never been much more than what he is now. This is probably the best rack he's had based on pictures and talking to Dusty in that shed. So we knew if he showed up, it was a good one to shoot for the first buck, especially. But I didn't realize it was him right at first because he was facing me. He's pretty narrow racked. He's got a really good 2 on his right side. And I saw all of that stuff. I saw that G2, and I could tell he was a big deer. But I just didn't realize how big a bodied he was and which deer he was as he was coming in, because he was walking straight at me basically the whole time down this field edge. And he finally got to about 20 yards. And I'm trying to film with the camera in a gallon plastic bag. And so I'm having to look around to the side of the camera, and I can't really get my binoculars up and look at him and see which deer it was. So it took him actually getting around the oak tree in front of me and right beside me at 12 yards before I saw his big main beam on the left side and realized that it was him. We'd call him long beams because this left beam doesn't really curl in. It sticks out past, stuck out past his nose. And I saw that and I thought, that's him. I better shoot him. And it was a rush after that because, again, I hadn't decided I was going to shoot him till the last second. So I turn around to get my bow. I get the camera where it's supposed to be. At some point in all that, I hit the focus button, or the focus ring rolled in that plastic bag, and it got just a little bit out of focus, and it was right there towards last light anyway. So it was an awesome video, but I thought it turned out okay. And that's why on the reel that you've maybe seen on Facebook, I had to stop him. That's why I got my bow late. That's why I had to stop him and then draw back, because it was such a late decision to happen so fast right there at the end. But got him stopped at 15 yards. He took a little bit quartering step to me after I stopped him right before I shot. So I went a little bit forwards, punched through his scapula on the on side, and it actually exited the other side. And then the thing broke my arrow in 3 places after he rolled around on it. But he ran off into the brush, and I didn't know exactly where he went, so I had no plans to go ahead and start tracking him. I knew he was going to be a dead deer. Big mule kick. I knew right where I hit him. I knew I got good penetration, which is, again, it's hard to tell on the video with that lighted knock sticking out of him, but it went through enough to get out the other side of him, and I knew I buried it pretty much to the fletching, so for sure double-lunged him. I knew he was a dead deer, but I wasn't going to start tracking yet because I didn't see him go down. So I got out of the stand. I walked over to the railroad tracks because this was the same farm where I killed mine last year that died on the railroad tracks, because I thought at least I better check that, and that way a train doesn't come and run over my buck. So I walked up there and checked that. He was not on the tracks. That's the direction he had gone. And I started walking to the truck, and there's a big bend in the path before I get to the truck. And I saw what looked like my knock, and then it disappeared. And I, oh, maybe that wasn't it. So I eased on up there, and I just have my phone light out. And I shined it over there as I was walking past, and I thought, that looks like a deer laying there. And sure enough, there he was. He had made kind of a loop out in front of me. In total, he probably ran between 75 and 100 yards, but it was about 60 yards from where I shot him. He was trying to get into the standing corn. He made it one row in and then died. Like I said, double-lunged him. He rolled around on that arrow, broke it in 3 different places, and it wasn't until then I realized actually how big-bodied he was, because looking at the little viewfinder through a plastic bag towards last light, I could not see what you can see on the video, which is just how thick that deer is and how wide he is from one side to the other on his body. When he's walking in, you can tell it's a giant-bodied deer, but I couldn't see all that, so I walked up on him, and I still wasn't like, gosh, that's a huge deer, until I dragged him out of the corn. And then I realized just how big he was. So fortunately, I could get the truck right to him. I tried to load him by myself, and that didn't happen. So called Dusty. He came out there. We got him all loaded up. Yeah, my favorite picture of him is him laying there on the tailgate, or just barely inside the bed of my truck. And he just looks like a cow laying there. I mean, he was 260 on the hoof is what we ended up weighing him at. We weighed him with the guts in him. 260 pounds on the nose. And then ended up measuring him out at 122 and some change. If he had that brow tine, he'd have been right at 125, right at Pope and Young minimum. So just an awesome deer, 5.5-year-old. I think anytime you can put your tag on a 5.5-year-old buck is is you've accomplished something, and I'm not just saying that because I did it. I'm saying that because I know the challenge of doing it. I've not done it so many years, and anytime you can do that, I think that's a trophy no matter what he scores. And he's a pretty good eight-pointer. I mean, he's not huge by any means. I think it takes a good eight-pointer to get up to in the 130s, and he's not that, but he is absolutely a trophy in my mind, and I knew it was a buck we wanted to shoot, for sure a mature deer. And again, by far my biggest bodied buck to date, and probably will be for a while. It'll be hard to top that one. So I got the tag on him, got the video all put out and everything, and I was feeling pretty good about going in November. Took a couple days off of hunting and filmed for Blake. I think I filmed for Nate one time in there, maybe his first hunt. Took a little bit of a break from hunting just to reset and get ready for November, because I honestly didn't really want to buck out before November.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
I ended up hunting Halloween evening, though, because I did have a really good eight-pointer show up at the cabin. And usually when they show up there on camera, they're going to be there again within the next day to 2 days. So went in after him, didn't end up seeing him. Went in on November 1st, right back to that same stand. I did a hanging hunt there across the plot from my pin oak stand and saw five different bucks that morning. That's the video, the buck parade video. That is out. You guys can go watch that hunt. The only one you can't really see on camera is that big eight. And he almost saved this deer's life, this 10-pointer's life, because I looked up and he was at 25 yards. Didn't hear him coming in. It was dead still that day. Still don't know how I didn't hear him coming in. But I look up and he's got his head down, about to step into the food plot at 25 yards. So I reached up and turned the cameras on. I reached over and grabbed my bow, and I moved kind of quick. I don't know if he saw me or if he heard something. I looked later where he was standing. I don't think there's any way he could have really saw me. But whatever it was, he didn't like it just enough to not want to get out in the open. So he turned and bounced off. I tried to stop him in a small lane where maybe I could have shot him, but I never got him on camera anyway. He didn't stop. He bounced off. I ended up getting him back on camera a couple nights later, and then hadn't seen him since. But that's pretty par for the course at the cabin. They will come in, get with a doe or look for does, and then they'll move out within 2 to 7 days, 2 to 10 days even. I've seen some stand there for almost 2 weeks doing that kind of stuff. But usually that's how it happens. Rarely will I have a buck that's just a homebody and that's really part of his home range. It has happened where I've had him throughout the season, but I don't think it was because of me spooking him that I haven't seen him since then. I do think it was just basically what he was doing in there after does. So didn't get it done on him. Should have absolutely messed that up, which is, you know, pretty normal for us, especially trying to film. So hunted from then pretty hard. I think I missed one day of hunting. We had a funeral to go to, and I played music at church that morning. So there was a Sunday where I didn't hunt morning or evening. Other than that, I hunted either every morning and evening or one or the other every day between them and November 9th. So November 9th rolls around. I go in for a buck on a different lease that morning. Ended up seeing again five different bucks, I think. One pretty decent four-year-old, and then a bunch of 2 and 3-year-olds, or the other four were 2 and 3-year-olds. One of them might have been a year and a half. He was a four corn. But had a good hunt. It just all happened real quick. It was real fast. It was actually a pretty slow hunt. But then, bam, a bunch of action right and within a few minutes to each other. So I didn't see the buck I was after, though, so I didn't end up going back in there that evening. I had the right wind to try what we call the heart attack stand, which, again, lived up to its name because it's one of those spots, even with the little food plot in it now, like there's a big strip of grass, and it just seems like they're always they appear out of nowhere. And you look over your left shoulder, and there's nothing, and you look back to your right, and then, bam, there's a buck standing there at 15 yards. This one was at 40, but either way, it was kind of like that again. And this also the tree where last year I had the horse come underneath me. I was looking one direction. I heard this thing walking on the tracks, and I thought, man, that sounds like a moose. And I turned around, and sure enough, it was pretty close to the size of a moose. It was a horse walking down the railroad tracks. So it just added again to the heart attack stand name. Dusty kind of dubbed it that after he had a couple of those encounters last year. It's a really good spot. It's right close to where Nate killed his turkey a few years ago. Really like the stand, and I wanted to get in there. We need a northwest wind or a straight north to get into there to that spot. You could hunt it straight north all the way around to northwest to west, basically. And we finally got that northwest. And the buck that I was hunting the day I killed this eight-pointer had been in there not that long ago. I know for sure he was in there on the 31st. And then he might have been in there one other time. I think maybe the 5th he was in there in daylight. And so I was kind of after him. There was also another deer that I had, a 10.5-year-old buck that'll push 150 that came right underneath me right after last light. I tried to change all the settings on the camera and get video of him. You could just barely make out a deer walking to me, but rattled him in at last light. He took too long getting to me. I was folding stuff up. I heard a snort wheeze out in the grass, and then bam, there he was at 40 yards. He worked down to within 10 yards of me, and just a huge body deer again, every bit as big as this eight-pointer that I shot. And super cool encounter with an old deer that's kind of a legend on that farm. But right after shooting light, definitely after camera light, so didn't get it done on him. But I thought either him or that other deer I was hunting might show up on the 9th. The evening, I had the right wind to be in there. It had been a hot spot. It's a really good stand. It's probably tied with the cabin pin oak for my favorite stand to sit, which I still haven't hunted to this day yet this year. I didn't really have time. But I went in there the evening of the 9th, went in fairly early, like 2 o'clock, thought about doing an interview in the truck because it was super windy that day, if you guys remember. That was one of those days we had last week that was really, really windy. So I was going to do an interview in the truck, but I didn't. Probably should have, but maybe if I did, I wouldn't have had this buck because I got out there to the stand. Fortunately, I took some video going in on the e-bike, so I had something to put before the hunt, and I had a little bit of GoPro stuff of me setting up. But as I was getting set up in the stand, I saw a doe out between the grass and the woods. She, I knew, was going to end up in the food plot, but she actually ended up going the other direction. So I thought, okay, well, I'll get everything set up. So as I'm getting the camera set up, I see her finally hit the trail. She came back and she hit the trail that was going to end up in the food plot. So I knew that was coming. So I still set everything up. I turned, I was putting my arrow on my bow when she popped out in the food plot. So I went ahead and finished getting my quiver off, put it in my backpack, and then filmed her a couple times. And this was all within like 10 minutes of getting there. And then 5 minutes later, I had just sat down, and I turned and looked because she bounced off the food plot, and she had been looking behind her. And then here, out this 10-pointer pops with his big long tines and decent mass and dark horned, and I could tell he had really good beams. I knew right away he was the deer I wanted to shoot. I thought he was one of those other deer I was after when I first saw him. I almost immediately realized that he was not because he didn't have a certain characteristic that the other deer does have. I thought he had a split when I first saw him as well on his G2. I don't know if I saw this big brow tine over here on the other side of it or if one of his other tines, the way he had his head turned, is what I saw. But he has no split, so I don't know what that was about. I think it was just the angle he was at. I thought he did have, but immediately knew he was a shooter. Again, at this point, had not done an interview, had not done any B-roll from the stand. I'd been there for 15 minutes. I turned my big camera on and turned the GoPro on, or I flipped that. I think I turned the GoPro on first. I grabbed my bow and then turned the big camera on. And on these cameras that we have, you have to turn them on and give them a second to get ready and then hit the record button. What I think I did after watching the GoPro video is turn that camera on and immediately hit the record button, trying to hurry up because I knew this buck would be following that doe and he was already at 40 yards. So I didn't get the big camera recording, which is why the video is not as great as it should have been on that hunt. But fortunately, that is one of the few setups where I have the GoPro set to see me and out where I'm hunting. Most of the time, it only sees me, and that would have been really bad. I don't even know if I would have posted the video at that point. But I had enough of an angle on him to where I could make it work. Fortunately, so like a minute after seeing him, he's walking, not even a minute probably, he's starting to walk out where that doe went. I'm drawn back on him at this point. I give him a little bleat to try to stop him, but it was so windy he didn't hear it, so then it got louder. He stops and turns. He's quartering away from me, 42 yards. I put it right where it should have been. I thought it was a little bit far back at first, but after seeing the video, it was better than I thought, and it actually, it hit the liver, it hit the backside of the on lung, and it center punched the off lung. So anyway, before I realized all that for sure, he ran off out of the plot. I thought, man, you did it. You got it on video. That was an awesome buck. At the time, I thought he was probably 160. I'll get to that in a second. But I hang my bow up. I look at the GoPro. It's recording. I look at my camera, and it's not recording. And it was when I realized that I probably missed it all. And then went to the media on the camera and tried to see if it was there. It was not. Almost fell out of the stand in frustration. You guys can see that on the video. Still bummed out that that video could have been so much better had I got that record button hit just like a half a second later than what I did. But it is what it is. I was hopeful the GoPro got it. I went out there and looked at my arrow. It looked like lung liver arrow. There was no guts on it. So I thought I wasn't maybe as far back as I thought. I tracked him just a little bit out of the food plot. Again, lung liver blood. I come back to the studio, pulled it up on the big screen. I saw the shot was definitely in the rib cage. It was a little better, a little farther forward than even I thought. So I knew this deer was going to be dead. But that's why I backed out, because if he's going to be dead in an hour, he's going to be dead in 15 hours, however long you got to wait. If he was going to be dead in that first bed, but it was going to take 15 hours and you went in the first 30 minutes and bumped him, now you may never find him. So I'm always wanting to be careful about tracking those deer. So that was in play as well. But I knew after seeing that video and after knowing where the arrow went in him that he was a dead deer. And we waited for dark. We got permission from the landowner. We went in. He was 100 yards from where I shot him. We actually were able to see him with the flashlights. We didn't have to blood trail him in the woods. We got in there to our property line on the fence. We saw his direction of travel. We shined the lights up in there. It didn't take us long to find him and recover him and walk up on him and realize he was a really nice deer. And even at that time, we still thought he was probably in the 160 range. But he was not as big-bodied as I thought, or as he could have been. I knew he was a mature deer when I first saw him, but I didn't know really how big he was. And I think that played into why he looked even bigger than he is. That happens a lot, that illusion. This deer looked smaller than he was because of his body size. This one looked a little bit bigger than he is. But nonetheless, got him back to the shop, got him all dressed out, ended up scoring him at 150 and 4/8 while he was kind of upside down hanging on the ramp there. I scored him again after I got him on the table and got him where I could actually kind of move him around a little bit. 151 and 4/8 is what we came up with. Again, I was guessing 160 on the hoof, and it turns out it was basically just because of his body size. I mean, a deer that's 150 inches on, you know, a 200-pound buck is going to look considerably bigger. But I wouldn't have not shot him if I knew he was 151 instead of 160. I absolutely still would have shot him because I knew right away he was a shooter buck. My goal for tagging out was 150-inch buck, and that's what I ended up with. So I'm super happy with this deer. All that said, with those great hunts that I had and kind of both of them really being not great weather where a lot of guys might sit out, rain on one day, really high, like gusting into the 30, 40 mile an hour range winds on the other day. So that was kind of cool to see. Both those bucks that I shot this year were bad weather days. Biggest bodied buck, biggest rack buck in the same year. Bucked out for the first time ever. I've never been bucked out because, again, most of the deer that I've killed have been, most of the bucks have been, I think the earliest one was maybe the second week of November, somewhere in there. And then the next one was November 28th. And then the other ones I've killed have all been either in December or January. So first time I've ever bucked out, and it was on November 9th, so early, so didn't really know what to do with myself. But all of that stuff said, the highlight of my season so far and what's made it my best season, my favorite season, is getting to film Dad shooting his buck. It's his first buck in several years, too. That has been the highlight of my year, is that hunt with him, because it was so much fun. We had a great hunt. It was a hanging hunt. He was in his climber. I was in my lone wolf that's probably 15 years old now. And he's still shooting his 2002 or 3 Bowtech Patriot with his aluminum Easton arrows and a Muzzy 100 grain. And we were probably 10 foot off the ground in the bottom of a little creek bottom on the bottom side of this ridge. And just awesome setup. Like, the video turned out like what I grew up watching. It was so cool. The whole hunt, the whole setup. We saw deer the whole time. We saw 2 nice bucks, including the one that he shot, the 6-pointer that he ended up shooting. And again, he had quit hunting for a while to work at the shop. We had never killed a buck together. So he had quit hunting for a while, so it had been a while since he'd even killed a buck. It had been 2 years since he killed a deer. And us hunting together had never killed and recovered a deer together. The closest we ever got was he shot a doe one time at the cabin. It made it to the neighbors. We had to stop tracking because that's not a particularly good relationship with that neighbor because of just stuff that I won't get into on here. But he ended up cleaning the deer, and he was at least nice enough to throw the head and the legs and the hide back across the fence. So we had that, but he took all the meat off of it. So that was the closest we had ever been, and I was young at that time. That's the closest we had ever been to killing a deer together, me shooting or him shooting. I hit a doe one time, hit her high too, that we didn't end up finding. But actually sitting in the same tree, that's the first one we had shot and found together. So that was cool too. He doesn't get a lot of hunting time either, being at the shop. He has to be here. So really he gets to hunt till about maybe the end of the first week of November, and then is pretty much working up here 14, 16-hour days for him until middle, late December, and then he might get to go hunting a little bit more. So I'm hoping he gets to go back out and we can get him a doe or maybe get on another buck somewhere. There's a couple at the cabin that I know he would shoot, and there's a couple at the North Farm I know he would shoot. That would be his biggest deer, I think. So maybe we can do that. But either way, that was my favorite hunt of the year. It's one of my favorite hunts I've ever been on, to be able to be with him when he killed his first buck in a long time in mid-October, and to get it all on camera is just really cool. And one of those I'll remember. I'll show my kids and grandkids, hopefully one of these days, the video of me and their grandpa or great-grandpa out there shooting a deer and filling a buck tag in mid-October with some awesome scenery and just an awesome hunt. The deer was at 12 yards when he shot him. He shot him through the back, center punched the right lung. He went 12 yards and then piled up in the bottom of the creek, of course. So we had to get him all the way out of there. We were way back up into the middle of that farm. So it's just a lot of fun. Definitely the highlight of my year to this point. Never mind the bucks that are sitting here on the table. That really made it for sure my best season ever. And we still aren't done yet. Like I said, we still have tags to fill. Dusty's got a tag to fill. Nate's got 2. Blake's got 1. Dad's got another one. Hopefully we can get him back out. I'd love to get Hunter her first bow buck. I've been out filming when I can, which is a lot of fun. I always enjoy getting to hunt with those guys. And I'm for sure going to get another doe myself, or at least try to get another doe. Hopefully I can take Reagan out. That's my oldest daughter, if she wants to go. She's been kind of wishy-washy on. Sometimes she's all gung-ho wanting to go. Other times she says she doesn't. So I got a ground blind to put up for her to go with me. We'll have a good chance at shooting a doe out of it, I think, depending on where they come out from. So that would be really cool. It's going to be fun either way to get to hunt with her, whether we shoot something or not. But I'm going to try to do both, at least hunt with her and shoot another doe. If it happens at the same time, awesome. If not, no big deal. That'll be fun either way. And I might get a wild hare and try to go out of state somewhere. This is, again, the earliest, only time I've ever been bucked out, so the earliest I've ever been done. There's still a lot of November left. I might go late season somewhere. I might try to go somewhere towards the end of November. I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, might get a wild hare. Might go somewhere else. And if I do, whether I try to film it or not, I don't know. Probably depends on where I go. It'll be kind of fun to just go and hunt. I also want to share it with everybody, all of our followers and stuff too. That's really fun for me, and part of the process and experience is getting to film it all. So if I go, I probably will try to film it, but we'll see what happens there. And that's a big if. I may not even go anywhere. I may hang around here and try to film for everybody else. But overall, it's been a great year, and can't wait to see what else comes. I'm ready to get gun season over with for sure. Get it here and get it done with. Maybe they won't kill all the deer. I know a lot of you guys are looking forward to that, so don't take that the wrong way. I'm just not a gun hunter, and I've always been up here working gun season, so it's not the most fun weekend for me. I'm just and my sometimes my target bucks get shot. I mean, that is what it is, but so I'm ready for gun season to come and go so we can get back to bow hunting. This week looks like it might be kind of tough, but either way, there is a lot of bow season left. And everything, in my opinion, from this point on is just a bonus as far as the season goes. So big thanks to everybody who's been following along. Hopefully you continue to do so, and we can get you guys some more awesome video out there, or some awesome video. We haven't really got a lot of awesome video, but we can get you guys some more videos out there of some more bucks going down, maybe some more does as well. So I hope you continue to follow along with us. Share it with your friends. Leave us a comment. Leave us a review if you're on audio only. If you guys... What kind of season you guys been having? Has it been tough? Have you had a really good season so far? You've been on deer? What are you seeing out there? You guys can leave that comment as well if you're on YouTube. You can send us an email to ridgehunteroutdoors@gmail.com. Been getting a few of those, which is always fun to have communication with you guys that listen to the shows and answer questions or just hear your guys' thoughts on what's going on. So that's all I got for this episode. If you guys are still with us, if you're still with me at this point, you should be subscribed. If you're not, or you should be following us. So again, would appreciate if you did that. And that's all I got. I will see you guys on the next one.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses, or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.